Coming up on TMSPM, Business Fever.
Grandma got lost.
Six guys.
Loch Ness found.
Avatar is coming for 7 years.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of The Morning Stream PM.
This is The Morning Stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's TMSPM for Thursday, the 14th. You'll get it on the 15th if you're at home. I don't know. It's what time?
It's when you're going to listen to it. What does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Jeez.
It's right after or just barely after the hour of 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is a little later than we do things. And Brian, I'd like to explain to you why.
Please tell me why. Why?
By the way,
why'd you keep me waiting here for an hour talking to myself?
By the way, that's Brian Ibbett, everybody. Brian Ibbett.
Oh, hello. Oh, hello.
Take a bow. It's Brian Ibbett. So, I had a phone call thing come up that I had to do, and I completely forgot about it. It was a Skype thing. It's a business thing. Boring in the details, so nobody needs to know about that. But I had to take it, and I texted Brian and said, dude, can we do two? You said, yes. You had just finished your bento box. Mm-hmm. How was that, by the way?
I'll talk about that when you're done.
Oh, good. There's more to it. All right. Yeah. Good. I like it. I got on this call and I started noticing on the call that I'm kind of freezing and shaking and I'm kind of sweating, not because of the call, but because the fever had returned. And it had returned in a low grade way. It wasn't like the worst thing ever, but I'm starting to feel really out of it and sort of like lethargic and I'm not really saying the words right. And I know I came off on that call like I was drunk or something. Like, I just sound like a drunk person. Mm-hmm. And here's the fun bit. I still think it's a little there now, so I'm going to do this show with a low-grade fever for the entertainment of everyone at home. I hope I don't say anything dumb or regretful.
Right.
During this time, I tend to see things and hear things when I have a fever. So if I hear or see anything, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But yeah, prepare yourself.
Feed the cat.
Suck. That guy on Twitter lied. All right. So, Brian, bento, bad service. Good bento, bad service.
Yeah, that's what I wrote anyway. Yeah. Mm. So, went to the sushi place right by me. I won't say their name, but this is a place that opened up a few years ago and has been pretty good, right? Like, it's, you know, the sushi's there has been really good. The service was great. The first couple weeks we went there, the owner was so glad to have some regulars coming in that anytime I'd go in there, he'd actually send over like a free appetizer, free dessert or things like that. Mm-hmm. And it was wave and, you know, bow at us and stuff like that. So it's really, really nice. So having been there in a while, I decided I'd go there for lunch and like I said, treat myself to a bento box. Went in there and manager guy wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Dude who greeted me at the door said, what can I do for you? And I said, one for lunch. He's like, all right. And it actually, I take that back. He didn't say anything. He just kind of picked up some menus and kind of just gestured with his hand. Okay. And I didn't know if that meant sit right here or sit over there or what. So finally I acted like I was going to sit down right, you know, right by the entrance. And he kind of waved around to show me another place.
Yeah.
Now I know he speaks English because he said, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
That's almost the extent of the speaking to me that he did. So, he sat me down, put some menus in front of me. Can I get you anything to drink? And I said, well, I've got a coupon here for a free hot sake. And I handed that to him. And so like it says, actually, I've got it right here. Got the coupon right here.
Okay.
Free large hot sake or $5 any ticket, 35 or more.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to get a bento box. I'm not spending 35 bucks.
Right.
So I'll just take the free hot sake. He takes it and he looks at it and he says, it's going to be free hot sake. You have to spend 35 or more. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought that was just $5 off 35 if you spend 35 or more. No. And he starts laughing.
He laughed at you.
Like, okay. All right. Gives me back the coupon I shove in my pocket. I'll say, I'll just have water. Thanks.
Yeah.
This was just the beginning of the end. So open the menu, figure I'm going to get the sashimi bento box. He comes over. What can I get? You know what you want? I said, yeah, I'm going to get the sashimi bento box. No. Soup? Yeah. You want miso? Well, yeah, sure. Miso soup. Thanks. from that point on, every exchange that we had was a silent one. Well, I take that back. Silent on his part.
Okay.
So he comes over, he brings my food. He sets it down in front of me. I say, thank you. He walks away.
Okay.
He comes over, refills my water. I say, thank you. He walks away.
Okay.
He comes and takes my empty bento box or like, you know, some empty soup bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
I say, thank you. He walks away. So at this point, I'm like, all right, well,
are you worried there's like urine in your food or anything like that?
No, because I don't think I've ticked him off. I think he's just an unfriendly person. Plus, I don't think he's, I think he, you know, from the sushi bar, I can pretty much, I have a pretty much clear view of them putting stuff on the top of the sushi bar, him picking it up and bringing it to me.
You can tell if there's like a little foreskin in your food before
it comes to it. Yeah, if there's snot in my food, it was put there by a chef and not by this guy.
Right.
Not saying it's not possible.
Right. Sure. It's just not probable. I understand.
Right. So brings the check and I put my card in there, brings it back for me to sign.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm like, well, you're certainly not getting... Like, you know, the usual tip I do is like somewhere between right around 18%. I usually figure out I double the drop the last number, double the rest. And that gives me somewhere between 18 and 20%.
Right.
Well, these guys are nice enough on the bottom of the receipt to put, you know, if you're going to do 15%, it's this much. If you're going to do 18%, it's this much. If you're going to do 20%, it's this much.
Yeah.
So it's. I'm trying to think of the last time I wrote something on a receipt.
I don't think I ever have. This would be good. I want
it was years ago in Hawaii when we had really, really bad service.
All right.
I'll tell you another story that's kind of related really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I circle on the very bottom, I circle the 15% and I write that exact number, $2.18 in the tip line.
Yeah.
And then I add everything up, put the total, sign it. Now, where I've circled the $2.18 on that bottom little tip suggestion line, I put not friendly in all caps.
Okay.
So it got me thinking like, you know, have you ever, so you've never written something on a receipt?
I don't think
like
so. If, no, if not that I recall. I may have written something once when it was exceptionally good service.
Right.
And I wrote like, she was awesome. Give her a raise. She was the best.
Oh, something see, like that. I like that. Yeah. 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 We've done that. I think actually Tina and I have both done that where we said, oh, you're awesome. Thank you so much or whatever.
Sure. Then a nice high tip, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, crazy neighbor. And this was at another sushi restaurant where we have not been back since. And I wasn't with them on this trip, but we used to go there all the time. That used to be our favorite sushi place.
That used to be the one you'd talk about all the time, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. We'd go there all the time. Mm-hmm. And he went there and just had a horrible time. Like basically, he usually gets the chirashi bowl. He said, hey, can I, you know, not have anything cooked in there? No crab, no eel, just all raw. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want the egg. He doesn't want the crab. He doesn't want a shrimp. Come on. Shrimp is like the laziest sushi thing you can put in there.
Yeah.
It's like peeling and eating shrimp basically. Well, yeah. It's a little bit bigger, but
sure.
So she disappears and comes back and brings the order and there's a bunch of cooked stuff in there. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. I thought I asked for, you know, no, or all raw stuff. She's like, no substitutions. He said, well, I've been here a bunch of times. You guys have always done substitutions. So she picks up the bowl, disappears with it, comes back, and the cooked items, the egg, the shrimp, and the eel, have been replaced with the tiniest little fragment of a fish that the sushi chef could, like, scrape off of the knife after he was done cutting somebody else's piece of fish. And he's like, all right, she says, well, no, it's expensive to do substitution. You know, that's why we do the egg. It costs a little bit less. So when you do this, like do it like this, then it makes up for it. He's like, okay, all right. So, and then there's some other service issues. She disappeared for a while and didn't show up. And, and so finally he gets the receipt and he, you know, gives her a card, same kind of thing, comes back. Now he writes original tip, X amount. Tiny piece of salmon, minus $1. Tiny piece of tuna, minus $1. Crappy service, minus $3. Final tip, zero. Basically, like he itemizes out
that's amazing.
All the different things that they would have gotten tipped for doing.
You say crazy neighbor, I say guy who's got it figured out.
I think he's got it figured out. Yep. And we haven't been back since. And, yeah. You know.
That's how it goes, man. One bad time and that's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
It's like it's hard to do. Like, you either value your customers or don't. Do you think it's a thing with sushi restaurants, or do you think it's just dumb luck?
No, because the previous wait staff there was fantastic. And the, holy cow, the wait staff at the place that's a little bit further for me, but the place I'm going to be going from now on is fantastic. They just didn't have a lunch special, so I went to the place near me. But you know what? I'll pay extra for lunch there. Screw the lunch special. Because they're super nice. You walk in there, there's this woman named Daisy. Mm. And you walk in there and she just comes over, gives you a hug. And she's sending over edamame. And she's sending over, you know, an extra bottle of sake when you order one. She's super, super cool.
Well, good. So did you go by yourself today?
Yeah, I went by myself. Took my iPad, kind of got through some emails and stuff like that. It's a good, you know, working lunch. I can deduct it.
I like that kind of stuff.
It's just a good way to get out of the house and...
I like plopping down at we have a local place called the Break. It's like a bar, but in the day it's all pub food and that sort of thing. I just love plopping down, getting some work done, eating some really good food.
Yep.
Get the hell out of there.
And not having the distractions of the rest of your life in the house to pull you away from
that. Or even someone with you there. Like just you, the waitress lady with the tattoos in my case, and the food. That's all I need. It's all I need.
It's all you need.
All right. Time for the news.
And our engineer says, so you're saying if I work through lunch, I can deduct it? Psh, heck yeah.
Heck yeah, you can, dude. Of course you can.
Working lunch.
You can deduct anything. I mean, if it's part of your business, you deduct it. I just bought a new video game that I really wanted to play, and I'm going to stream it and do some other stuff with it. Guess what? Business deduction. Bing, 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 bing.
Exactly.
Totally works.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Why, look, it's the evening news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville, where on yesterday's show, which is now up on the feed, we did a salute to Merle Haggard, who passed away last week. Country legend Merle Haggard. I was surprised to find how much Merle Haggard I had in my library. How many covers? I've got him doing a cover of Cry, Cry, Cry by Johnny Cash with Third Eye Blind. I've got a cover by Elvis Costello doing Merle Haggard. The old 97s, Uncle Tupelo, some great stuff on there. And if that weren't enough, I did a couple sets of Acapellaville. So it's all acapella, no instruments, bunch of people singing like crazy, like fools, and doing songs. And all this was on yesterday's Coverville. You'll find it on the feed at coverville.com.
Jeez, that's great. Look at the Coverville
all that
on you.
Jammed into one show.
Yeah, that's amazing.
No wonder I win all the awards.
Except this year, you're not anymore. The list has been going around of the shows that can win. Yeah. It makes me sad. I can't have Film Sack in there. I can't have The Instance in there. I can't have the show in there.
Sure.
I can't have, what's the...
You
more,
got Boop. You got...
Yeah, but the more I think about it, the more it bugs me. You know?
Yeah.
It's annoying. Current Geek could win because we didn't even nominate it last time. Come on, Todd.
Todd
Cochran. All right. Let's get to it here. Grandma has been lost. An Arizona woman. Does she have a power? What does she do for
this,
powers?
We'll save the powers for this story because I saw an interview with this woman and so excited to talk about her.
Okay, great. So here's the deal. A grandma got lost in the wilderness and got rescued after writing help in rocks and sticks. This is so cool. It's like an old movie. Arizona woman and her dog were stranded in the state's White Mountains for 9 days, were rescued thanks to her resourcefulness. Ann Rogers, age 72, spelled out the word help on the canyon floor. NBC News reported rescue workers and a helicopter spotted the message on Saturday, 9 days after she was reported missing on March 31st, according to the Reuters article. Shortly thereafter, rescuers found Rogers in the same area, standing near a signal fire. She also left a handwritten note under one of the rocks explaining her predicament. I assume that's in case they got there and she wasn't there or something.
Yep, I guess so. In case.
Here's some video. Let's actually hear.
Yes. Oh, please tell me we've got audio of her.
Yeah, I have a little bit here, I believe. I don't know what the volume's like. Let's see. Here we go. 70-year-old. Okay, give me some volume.
I was so excited and happy and thrilled, I couldn't shut up. They basically said that I was a miracle as far as survival was concerned, and how much they were pleased and happy to have found me alive.
I'm sure you feel like a miracle.
Well, no, actually what I feel like is a survivor. They basically said that I was a miracle as far as survival was concerned. And
we got that part.
How much they were pleased and happy.
Didn't you say this twice?
Life.
Yeah, it sounds, yeah.
Wait, the video's
well,
repeating.
No, actually, what I feel like is a survivor.
Yeah, now you're getting some. Now you're getting some.
Oh, here we go.
All of this and advice for anyone if they find themselves stranded in a remote area with no cell phone service.
Never, ever, go alone. Do not ever go without everything you need: water, tools, survival MRIs. Whatever kind of food, high protein.
I can't do it anymore. I want to keep listening, but she's killing me.
Now, this apparently was recorded after her handler or whoever works with her said, you need to be more cheerful in interviews.
Oh, was she cranky in another one?
Boy, the Today Show played some audio of her. It must have been right after she was rescued. And she just, it's funny because she sounded angry to be rescued.
Really?
Like, it was my birthday while I was lost in the place.
Oh, man.
And I had to eat something. And so my birthday treat was I took a turtle and I killed it. And then I cooked it upside down over a fire and ate it. And that was my birthday. And the only thing I had was a Nutella bottle, and that was my water vessel.
Dang it. I want to hear that.
That's the audio I wanted. I was hoping.
Well, let's see if there's more. Let's see.
And safety weapons. Now.
She's still going on about what you mean.
Safety weapons.
Safety weapons.
What's a safety weapon? No, maybe she explains. Hold on.
You know what you're going to encounter out there, be it a car breakdown or wherever, however, in a neighborhood. You do not know, do you?
She's cross-eyed, too, I want to point out.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, that's kind of bothering me.
And she's wearing, like, the brightest Tyvek clothing available.
Oh, yeah. This is a retiree Arizona thing going on right here. Let's see if there's any more.
You have to be prepared. You cannot think that somebody's going to automatically appear and just help you out.
What was the longest, what was the longest you went without finding anything to eat?
Well, I always found something.
Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
It was always green.
Can you not hear me?
Of some sort that I'd learned was safe to eat. And even if it was bitter, I would.
Okay, we're back. Sorry, we had a little technical glitch. Oh, well, Ann Rogers, I guess that's all you got to say.
I wish we had the audio, the angry audio.
It's a good, 4 minutes.
Anybody investigating the smoke?
Oh, now she's getting mad.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, now.
Yeah, let's see what else she says here.
And then, of course, I had to make sure it was all out before I hiked on down the river.
So you've never been in a helicopter before?
No.
We are so thankful that you are okay. We are live on 12 News right now. What words do you have for the community and for those rescuers?
Shut up, local news.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart and soul.
Okay, that's just okay. She can.
TV's Egon actually just posted a link. If you maybe grab that one and jump to 48 seconds.
All right, I'm jumping in.
I think he may have found something.
Jumping in here, Survivor Joy, Joy, Joy. For how many seconds?
48 seconds.
48. All right, we're going to 40.
Water, but feeling truly lost and nobody missing her.
I felt down and I felt angry. I was frustrated. But I knew there were people who cared enough to make sure somebody found me sometime out there.
That is until this plea for help made a stick.
This is the kind of thing I was hearing.
I don't know why I'm so fascinated by this woman. There's something about her presentation.
She's like
something. Maybe it's the fever.
That weird aunt they had on Brady Bunch that like made one appearance on one episode.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, no.
I think Jan wanted to be like her or something like that.
It's like a character that Cloris Leachman might play.
Yes, yes.
It's that extreme kind of, why is no one paying attention to me?
Exactly.
And
the flower that was on my hat wilted because of all the sunshine.
Look, when I'm 72, I want to be so chill. If the news comes to me for some reason and I have to tell a story, I'm not going to say we wanted more fish and there were no more fish.
No.
I'm not going to talk like this lady. I just want to be, I don't know what I want to be. Maybe I just want to be, get the hell out of my yard. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, kind of like the elderly woman they interviewed in that retirement home that was like the oldest woman on earth or something like that. Just had her 114th birthday.
Yeah. She's like, are you having a great time? No, I'm not. Is this the best birthday ever? It's the worst time I've ever had.
Do you have any words of wisdom for people out there?
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't. There's some things I like about that. Attention, Five Guys hamburglers. There's a guy that broke into a Five Guys in the middle of the night and sold a bunch of hamburgers.
Oh, yeah, right. And made his own and just made a burger.
Yeah, made a burger. That's what you do. Yeah. Make a burger. That's a hot new joint. Right.
Everyone He's the sixth guy, the sixth man.
Sixth man. Well, the rival hamburger place called Wayback Burgers. I don't know if I'd want a Wayback Burger. Doesn't that mean it's either way in the back or it's old? I don't know. I don't like the way connotation. Back. Yeah, it's way back.
Sherman.
Sherman, quiet you.
Set the Wayback Machine for a burger.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Peabody. I don't know if I know how. Quiet you. All right.
This burger was made back in the Cleopatra era.
It's kind of a Ronald Reagan you got going.
It's like it's my Smithers Bullwinkle, basically. Yeah.
Nothing up my sleeve.
I mean, Mr. Burns Bullwinkle.
There you go. Oh, yeah, Mr. Burns. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this guy, I can tell the fever is like making my brain not work. Wayback Burgers is offering a year of free burgers to anyone who can find this guy who authorities say snuck into a Five Guys location for a midnight stack. Security footage shared by DC Metro Police shows a suspect possibly going, quote, all the way in the Five Guys kitchen during the early morning hours of March 18th. What does that mean?
I don't know. Going all the way.
Going all the way.
Had his way with a burger.
Yeah, him and a burger, finally.
Oh, he's rounding second base.
The burger seems
to
be...
firm grip on the bun.
The burger seems to be complying. The burger's into it.
Touching buns, there you go.
There you go. I strongly encourage you to do the right thing and turn yourself in right away, says John Ecolacitino.
Ucolito.
The Ucolito. I used to play the Ucolito in high school. It was really a weird instrument, but people liked it.
Nice. Very nicely done.
The president of Wayback Burgers said in a statement, here's where he gets juicy. Oh, Huffington Post. Yeah. It says, quote, after you take accountability for your actions, Wayback Burgers will give you free burgers for 1 year. It's not too late to turn yourself around based on what you did. So he wants to give the guy lifetime burgers.
Right.
I think you should give someone lifetime burgers who turns the guy in. We don't need to. You don't need to reward the thief, right?
Right.
That's really weird to me.
It's a way of saying, you know, hey, you've served your time. You're paid your penance for your actions.
He's paid his debt to society. Is that what you're saying?
Let's really call it what it is. It is a publicity stunt that says for the free advertising I'm going to get from the Huffington Post and the wherever, we're just going to have to give this guy 12 burgers. So basically, it's going to be, you get one free burger a month.
This is terrible. Send me your video, by the way. I don't know why that's not coming
through. Oh, probably the little
from earlier, yeah. Loch Ness Monster's been found. Sort of.
Oh, thank goodness.
Kind of, sort of.
Okay.
Finally discovered.
Was he making a burger in the back of a Five Guys?
It was not, but it was found at the bottom of the Loch Ness.
That's kind of where you'd expect it to be.
Well, you'd think. According to the BBC, an underwater robot that has been exploring the Loch.
Lock.
My eyes keep going to the upper.
Okay.
The upper line where it says decades again. I'm telling you, it's the fever.
Weird, man.
Yeah, everything's not. My brain's on fire. Discovered a massive movie prop from a Loch Ness monster flick. 30-foot model used in The Private Life of Sherlock Holmes in 1970. That sounds like it's like a shit stain of a movie, doesn't it?
Right. Oh, why are we watching that? 1970.
Yeah. Sank during filming in the film, which stars Robert Stevens and Christopher Lee. Oh, Christopher Lee. What does he do? That's what he does.
That's exactly right.
A pre-World War I submarine for the British Navy is taken out for testing, disguised as a sea monster. As for that robot drone that found the sunken Nessie model at the bottom of the 750-foot deep lake, it was down there searching for the real one. So I guess we're still looking for that thing.
I guess so. Weird. Why? Okay.
Come on, people. We're done with the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, it's already been debunked.
Yeah, long
time ago. The one guy who had the photo of the Loch Ness Monster debunked it.
Yeah, he said it's fake. But this is what we've learned about conspiracy theorists. If you really believe in something, even the guy who made it up can't convince you that it's not real. Mm-hmm. Like, we had that local dude, forgot his first name, Smith, out here who flew, made a UFO and flew it. And all the local news stations lost their minds, and everyone covered it, and everybody went crazy, and they had all these UFO enthusiasts around here going, yep, that's totally what it was. It matches all of this and that. He comes out and he goes, guys, it was totally me. I made it up. In fact, here it is in my garage. This is the device. This is how I fly it. Just so y'all know, I made this thing up. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. They still believe that it was a UFO and that he was part of the cover-up.
Oh, nice.
That's my whole point. You can't.
You
it doesn't
just
matter.
Can't help people.
It doesn't matter. You could be the one guy who starts it all, and you could admit it, show proof that you did it, and they still are dumbasses. Speaking of dumbasses, not really.
Yeah. I've been to Ness, by the way.
Have you?
Yep.
Really?
Did not go to the Loch, but I did go to Ness, yeah.
What was
up
Ness?
In Scotland.
What was Ness like?
It's a beautiful little town. Went there and had met my grandparents. So this was on a trip where I turned 16 up at the Isle, the Kyle of Loch Alsh in the northern end of Scotland.
Right.
And my dad planned this whole trip around my 16th birthday, took me to England where I could meet my great grandmother.
Sounds great. This
see
trip.
Where he grew up and stuff. It was a fantastic trip. And one of the stops before the Kyle of Loch Alsh and the Isle of Wight? No.
Not the Isle of Man.
Not the Isle of Man.
The Isle of Wight and the Isle of Man. The Isle of Lady. What else is there? That's all there is. Are there other isles of something?
There are lots of isles. Yes.
Oh, all right.
And we went and we spent one night in Ness at a bed and breakfast and had dinner in town. And I really wanted to go see the Loch, and we didn't have time. We had to keep going.
Gosh dang it.
Had to hop back on BritRail and continue our way up.
It's too bad you didn't get to see this fictitious thing that never existed.
I know.
It's too bad.
At least I could have said, I've been to Loch Ness, didn't see it.
For a 16-year-old, that would be pretty cool.
Oh, it would have been rad.
Yeah, I want to go to Easter Island. I want to hang around giant heads on the beach. That's what I want. That's the big, that's the seventh wonder of the world I want to hang around and spend some time with. In final news about James Cameron. Jeez.
Please let this be about Kirk Cameron.
Oh, it'd be the worst sequels ever. James Cameron, a filmmaker extraordinaire, has 5 Avatar films in the works, 4 technically, 4 sequels to the original Avatar.
Jeez.
All in the works, and they span from now all the way until, what's the dates? They didn't put it here. Anyway, 7 years from now. So what's that? 7 years?
Oh, really? So over the next 7 years, we're supposedly going to get 4 more Avatar films?
Correct, and he's going to helm them all, and he's got it all planned out. So if you have a baby right now, that baby will be 7 years old.
When the last Avatar comes out.
Yeah, which is terrible. Sounds awful. I know. Yeah, so anyway, look forward to that, everybody. Some sweet Avatar action coming your way.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
I'm just curious what you do. Like, what story is left to be told?
Because,
you know, they get in there and they solve the problem that they were having with the their forest was getting destroyed. And
real basic, too.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy going on.
Avatar 2, Lost in New York.
Avatar 2, the one without Sam Worthington, because no one cares about that guy no more. Like, who's going to be your new man? It can't be him again, is it? I don't know. I don't think his star rose enough. I think they're...
The Avataring.
I don't know. I'm actually kind of boggled as to how they're going to make this work.
Avatar another day.
That say, I'll watch them. I mean, I'll watch these things. That say, I can't even formulate terms. That say... Meaning that said, you say. All right, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to try to be more cogent after this song. When we get back, we got app reviews. We're going to talk about your Twitter questions and more, so come on back for that. Brian brought a little bundle of music.
I did. So I mentioned earlier this on TMS AM that we had some slower songs today and a couple of tributes. This is the second of the 2 tributes today. Alan wrote in, said, on January 5th, I lost my wife of 13 years. We were together for 22 to cancer. She was 37. Today is 100 days after she died, which in her culture ends the period of mourning. I don't know what culture that is.
Yeah.
She loved Duran Duran and Styx. So if you can work some magic and get a combo of them, I know wherever she is, she'll be smiling. I want to tell one of the many stories about my wife. She managed to complete her master's in engineering from Johns Hopkins while doing chemo.
Wow.
Thanks, Alan. Well, Alan, again, sorry for your loss. And
also, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
Gosh, yeah. Dang it. I can barely finish the
You can barely breakfast. Finish a sentence and you,
yeah,
you
know. I can't even talk. She is better than me. I can say that.
So, well, I did some searching. I could not find anything that combined Duran Duran and Styx. However, in doing some searching for good Duran Duran covers, I found this one. I thought it was a good tribute. It'd be a good tune. This is Steve Acho from his 2006 album Covers Uncovered. It was a live acoustic concert. He did this amazing cover of Duran Duran's Rio. I'm going to play it for you now. This is going out to Alan.
This is one of my tribute to the 80s songs. Thanks, Ange.
On the floor now, you're a bird of paradise. Cherry ice cream smile, I suppose it's very nice. We'll step to the left and a switch to the right. You catch the mirror way out west. You know you're something special and you look like you're the best. Her name is Rio when she dances on the sand. Just like that river drifting through a dusty land. And when she shines, she really shows you what she can. Oh, Rio, Rio, dance across the Rio Grande. I've seen you on the beach, and I've seen you on TV. Through all the million stars, it means so much to me. Like a birthday or a pretty view. But then I'm sure that you know it's all for you. Her name is Rio when she dances on the sand. Just like that river drifting through a dusty land. And when she shines, she really shows you what she can. Oh, Rio, Rio, dance across the Rio Grande.
That was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I like that a lot.
Love that version.
You know what was weird about it is it sounded a little like Styx, too. It had a quality of that.
It's funny because that actually was what led me to it. I did some searching in my own library, then did some searching online. And I don't know if Steve Acho also does Styx covers or if he was inspired by Styx or whatever the deal was. But there, you're right. There's a little bit of vocally. There's a little bit of...
Isn't that strange? I don't know. I picked up
in there.
Picked up on that. Didn't expect to.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Let's do this.
News tweet.
Want to go bird hunting this weekend?
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
That guy on Twitter live.
I'm gonna just keep going. That's the last one I'll do.
Right. We're doing this before app time. Look at this.
Oh shit!
You switching it up?
I'm so out of it. No, we're not doing this yet. We're doing app time. I can feel it. I got like goosebumps.
Oh boy, you need to rest, man.
I know, and I will. Don't worry. The show ends, and I'm off to bed again or something. Here's what I meant to play for real. Yeah, this is it.
App Slappy.
All right, it is App Slappy. That means time for us to talk about apps. It's not really App Slappy. There used to be a show. People are still pissed it got canceled. Whatever, man. Just live with it. We're gonna do
I'm
that.
Nominate it at the podcast awards.
Well, that'd be really funny, and we could make it win, which is the irony. We could have everyone voted in.
Oh yeah, can you imagine the uproar? That show hasn't been on in 2 years.
They're already gonna be pissed that it's. I still think they're gonna be pissed that it's the same STP, same 10 people winning everything, just different shows.
Right.
Anyway, whatever. Let's make the world burn. Let's talk about some app recommendations. Why don't you go first? You've got something you've been using and enjoying.
I do. I'm excited about this one. So, Scott, you know how I love games.
I do. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to recommend a game today, but I'm going to recommend something that when you do this, you can enjoy a game, right? While you're doing this. No, this is an app called Skyscanner.
Okay.
And somebody... I can't remember who recommended it to me. I might have found it on the 500 by Midnight board. But what it is, sometimes you just got to get out of town. Sometimes you just need a vacation. You need a quick trip somewhere. And you almost don't care where you're going.
Right.
Right?
Right, right. No, I understand that completely.
Skyscanner helps you find cheap flights, whether you're going to someplace specific or just, you know, kind of anywhere. So you launch this thing. And first ask you, all right, what's your home airport?
Mm-hmm.
And you say Denver International Airport. Okay, cool. All right, now it's saying, all right, select your destination or where do you want to go flying to? And you can either type in there like Las Vegas McCarran Airport. You can say New York, whatever, or you can leave it as United States, or you can even say international.
Okay.
And what's really cool is, it starts figuring out, all right, well, here's some cheap places. And it does the search over like a dozen different airlines. Sadly, Southwest is not one of them. I wish Southwest would be more. They don't work with any of these things. Orbitz or the William Shatner one, the Negotiator, whichever one that is, Priceline. They don't work with any of that stuff, unfortunately. Yeah. But at least it can give you an idea. And then you can go to Southwest and say, can you beat this?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say... Just for this first test, I'm going to say Las Vegas McCarran.
Okay.
All right. And it says, all right, well, when do you want to go? And you can just say, well, let me just see what April looks like. And it shows you the next 7 months with a little blue bar that shows you how much on average, I'm sorry, not on average, the lowest price for a round trip ticket. Over the next few months. Mm-hmm. And April shows $68 for a round trip ticket. I'm going to click April. Okay. Let's take a look at April. And now it shows you a bunch of bars, like again, like a little bar graph of all of the days in April with a departure line and a return line.
Okay.
And you can scan down that list and see where the lowest bar is for that day and say, okay, well, flying out to Vegas, the most expensive days are Thursdays and Fridays. Flying back, the most expensive days are Sundays and Mondays. I kind of like, you know, this going out on Saturday the 23rd for $35 and coming back on Tuesday the 26th for $35. There we go. Round trip flight to
good deal.
Vegas for $70.
It's a really good deal, yeah. I'm impressed.
Click done. Mm-hmm. And then it shows you, all right, now that you've kind of whittled it down to that, It fills in the dates for you. Now it shows you all of the different flight hours you can choose from, the different airlines you can choose from. Of course, this is a Spirit Airlines flight, which is why it's so cheap. So, hey, you can't, no carry-on bags, no luggage, no water, no reclining seats, no Wi-Fi, none of that. And, but I can choose from there and say, all right, well, this isn't bad. It's a 6 p.m. flight, gets me there at 7 p.m. Perfect. And you can buy it right from the app. And you can even choose like you can with all apps. You can choose all the different amenities. You can add on things. You can choose a different airline. You can say, I only want to travel between these hours or I only want one way. But the cool thing is all that stuff you can do at the beginning. Now, let's say I didn't have any place specific that I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, just show me the United States. Well, now you've got this long list of like, all right, well, if you're wanting to go anytime, we can get you to Dallas for $68, Salt Lake City, Houston, Los Angeles, Minneapolis. And you can scroll through this list, Phoenix, and you can say, oh, wow, Fort Lauderdale sounds great, $78. And then when you click on that, then you get, again, through this the same interface, like all of those April dates for Fort Lauderdale saying, all right, here's the cheapest day to go. Want to go then? And it's a really, it kind of lets you be a little spontaneous and say, you know, I just kind of want to get out. I want to go on a vacation. I don't care where.
That's kind of fun sometimes, just to be able to just let's get your shit and let's leave.
Totally. And if you've got a Bobax jacket, you can shove every personal belonging you want in there, and you don't have a carry-on bag. So in and out super cheap. It's called Skyscanner. It's a free app. And I'm having so much fun, even if I'm not going on these trips.
Yeah.
I'm just having a fun time saying, hey, hon, you want to go to Puerto Rico for $212 round trip?
Well, that seems awesome.
Yeah.
iOS only, or we know? Do you know if it's Android?
I don't know if it's Android.
Probably.
Look at this. Let's see. Costa Rica, 236. Mexico, 261. I can go to Chihuahua. Chihuahua, Mexico for $261 right now. Or Puerto Vallarta.
All right. That all sounds good.
Let's just do it. Let's just go.
Go, Brian. Make a choice and go. Right just there. Hit purchase and go.
Yeah. So Skyscanner, and I think there's also a website probably related to this, but they'll also give you alerts. You can say, all right, you know what? I want to go to Vegas. I don't care when, but give me an alert if you see like a big drop, and you'll get a little alert on your phone saying, hey, Vegas for $48 round trip if you want it.
Well, all right. Mine is a game.
All right.
I don't want to blow your mind or anything. But
tell me your game.
I like video games, so I'm going to tell you about a video game.
And pulling up my app store right now.
It is. It is thankfully free to play, so you'll be able to, you know, get it without too much risk. I really ended up liking this stupid thing, and it is kind of stupid. Here, let me sit up because I realize I'm slouching and I look terrible on the camera. Anyway, it's called Fishing Break. Okay. Now, when you play a game like World of Warcraft or any game that features fishing, right? Mm-hmm. That can be addicting after a while. Because you're just like, I want to catch the next one. Ooh, I got a really big fish. I wonder if my next one will be a big fish. And you want to keep catching, keep catching, keep catching. This game has figured out how to distill that activity down into a addictive little crack whore little moment where you just want to keep fishing. You don't want to stop fishing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to play a part of this. Here, let's see.
Fishing Buddy is what this thing's called?
Hold on. What's going on here? No, it's called Fishing. Sorry, Fishing Break.
Fishing Break. Okay.
So here I am resuming. I don't want any bait. Okay.
Hey, all you app developers out there, there's no game called Fishing Buddy. Get on that.
Yeah, make a Fishing Buddy.
Seems like there should be, right?
So it seems real basic. Your little dude chucks line in, throws in the water. Oh, I got a fish. Oh, shoot. I missed it. Anyway, it's very simple tap controls. You flick out your little lure. You catch a fish. You reel it in. There's a trick to doing that, not breaking your line. You upgrade your line and your pole to be better and better. And you sell it or donate it to a museum all the time.
Wow.
It's one of the most egregious examples of just one more, just one more, just one more that I have played in a very long time. And it's just stupid fishing. But I'm way into it. And if I catch a certain kind of fish, it'll give me a bounty for a certain kind of fish. And so I want to like try to upgrade for that fish. Fish have different armor ratings, basically, or what their strength rating is. And the higher that rating, the harder they are to reel in. Mm. So you want to improve your bait and your unit there to, what's that called? A fishing pole. I'm so out of it. You want to
bait your unit.
You want to upgrade those things to make it so it's all the easier to try to catch the big fish and get the big trophy money. Also, certain fish you can donate to a museum. Mm-hmm. And when you do, the museum generates money for you while you're gone. So if you're not in the game for a few hours or whatever, that one got away with it. The museum is generating cash for you. And it's got great little sounds. Check this out here. It's raining right now in my pond. Here we go. All right, we're gonna get a fish. Oh, here we go. Let's get him in. Oh, yes.
Oh, did you club it?
No, it gave me a B, a grade of B for the Plymouth.
Oh, okay, that was the rating.
Yep.
Certainly you whacked it with a stick.
I'm selling it for 18 gold. That's pretty good money for that size fish. And I can go and look at my pole and say, okay, well, let's see. My wooden rod is falling apart, so maybe I'm going to upgrade it. There we go. Now I got a lake rod.
Too early to play a fish game?
I really like it. And you just feel like there's infinite like ways of upgrading your stuff. You can go there. You unlock new locations. So there's a pond, there's a cabin, there's a lake, there's all this stupid stuff. And you're this little dumb hat wearing kid. I don't even know why I like it, but I really like it.
It sounds, I mean, it really just sounds kind of relaxing.
Yeah, it's a great time waster if you're just sitting somewhere waiting for a dentist appointment or something. It's perfect for that. A couple of quick casts, and then, Mr. Johnson, it's time for you to get your teeth pulled. You can just turn it off. So go check it out. That's, what did I call it? Fish Break. Fishing Break.
Fishing Break.
Fishing Break. What a boring name. Fishing Break. But it's kind of addicting and a real pickle, so play that.
Nice.
All right.
Very good. Now good suggestion.
Now it's time for this thing I was doing earlier. The newest tweet. You just get that one now. That's all you get.
You'll get the whole. You'll get the whole collection this time.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll give you one of these.
We walk right past that
car. No.
The Adventures of Croc.
No.
Now you put.
No.
This world famous comic.
No.
Cheers, genitals.
There you go. Cheers, genitals. That's what we're gonna play.
Cheers, genitals.
Let's let's do it.
All right.
Here are some Twitter questions asked on the Ask TMS hashtag today on Twitter or other days. Maybe, I don't know, today's maybe not just today. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm literally losing it. Oscar wrote in, says, favorite ethnic dessert.
Favorite ethnic dessert.
I don't know if I've had an ethnic dessert in a long time. Would it be, like, really? Flan considered an ethnic?
Yeah, flan would definitely be an ethnic dessert. Well, spanakopita, I think.
What the hell's that?
That's Greek. Isn't in spanakopita the Greek or like baklava?
Is that a dessert also?
Yeah, that's a dessert also.
I thought the baklava is what the guys, if you're like a special SEAL Team 6 guy, you wear like a mask over your face. I thought that was a baklava. Isn't that it?
No, that's a balaclava.
Oh. Is it really?
Yeah.
Wait.
I think it's a balaclava.
Okay, I've mixed them up.
Oh, yeah. So spanakopita has the spinach. Is it?
I mean, the answer already came out. It's flan for me.
Flan for you? Oh, I think...
I could eat a good flan right
spumoni
now.
Spumoni for me.
What's spumoni?
Spumoni.
Oh. He said spumoni.
Spumoni.
Anthony Carboni. Wait, what's a spumoni or whatever?
It's like Italian Neapolitan ice cream with cherries and pistachios in it.
That sounds really good.
It's so fantastic.
Okay, I'm in on that. That sounds great. Well, you want to know my least favorite? Because I don't even think it's an actual... Well, maybe it is, but whenever you go to a Mexican restaurant and they get you to eat fried ice cream,
yeah,
I always hate that. I never really like that, yeah.
It's basically, you know, cornflakes stuck around a scoop of ice cream.
Yeah, but if they fry it for real, like when I worked at Chi Chi's, we used to really fry it. Like, mm-hmm. You'd put the ball, you'd wrap it, you put enough of the stuff on it, and then you flash fry it, like, real quick. And it was just an oily, soupy mess.
Yeah, it is really bad. Well, unless you get it well done, right?
Becky Grieve asks, what are you having for dinner tonight? There's rumor floating around that my wife's making shawarma tonight. Yep, I'm into that. So I will gladly...
Wow, it's like you're filming the Avengers right there.
Might need Tylenol first. But yeah, shawarma's on the menu for me. What are you doing?
I don't know what we're having tonight because we do the HelloFresh thing and we did our third HelloFresh meal yesterday, which was an awesome pancetta and penne pasta.
Oh, nice.
Or a creamy peen. creamy peen with pancetta. tonight might be getting Chinese food or maybe I'll make a pizza or something.
That sounds all right.
Mm-hmm.
I would eat at your house if I was there.
Yes, you would.
Heather asks, what mythical story, character, or urban legend do you wish was true?
Ooh.
This means she's not asking, like, would you like to be able to fly or anything like that. She's saying, right, like, what of the legends would you want to be true? And can we just take off the table anything to do with Candyman? I don't want him around. He shoots bees out of his mouth.
Bees! Yeah, it's fine. He would not be the one I'd want to be real anyway.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is hard.
I wish leprechauns were real.
Yeah. Because they got gold at the end of the rainbow.
Exactly. Why wouldn't you want leprechauns? Why would you want, like, you know, Bigfoot or Loch Ness or Chupacabra or something like that when you could have leprechauns?
Yeah,
leprechauns. I guess because they're bad, though.
Are right? They, though? They hurt you? Or just the...
Well, if the movie Leprechaun teaches us anything, it's that it's happening.
All right, I'm going with, like, big talking Pete's dragon kind of deal. I want a dragon friend. That will help me and talk to me.
Sure.
It can even be Sean Connery as the big dragon talking to
that'd be great.
Randy Quaid.
Is that
Nicholas
what was that?
Quaid.
That was
Jeff Quaid. Yeah. Jim Quaid. What was his name? Nick Quaid. Quaid.
You're talking about
Dana Quaid. Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid. It was a D.
Yeah. It was the D. Always with the D.
Daniel Quaid.
Daniel Quaid. All right. How about this one? Okay. How about this one? Dan says, green olives, black olives, or hold the olives.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of olives, but I don't like the store-bought in the bottle black or green because they're just so, I don't know, they're so pedestrian and lame and processed.
Really?
But I love like a good Italian olive bar where there's like a million weird olives, purple ones and just
the black ones that have the seeds in them still, the clamata.
Yeah. Nice and Calamata. Salty and just gnarly olives. I like those.
Yeah. So, Tina's folks, every Thanksgiving put out a what do you call that? A crudité tray or of the relish tray, basically, which has the celery with pimento spread on it, a thing of black olives from a can, and a thing of green olives from a bottle, from a glass jar. And I always go for the green ones.
That's pretty good.
And there's usually no fight. Like Tina does not like the green ones. Tristan kind of likes the green ones, but I'm usually alone in my enjoyment of the green olives.
Well, I'm okay with the green.
Pimento greens. In them. You gotta have the little pimento.
Yeah, I'm okay. You know what? The green ones over the black ones. The black ones are just—they're made for little kids to put on their fingers for Thanksgiving,
right.
Or on pizzas, I guess. And by the way, green olives sliced up and on pizza—that's real good.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That adds a little salty business there. It's good.
I'll have to get that the next time I'm able to enjoy pizza by myself because Tina won't be having it.
All right. How about this one? Name there's a lot of food today.
All right.
Adam Moore says, name a food you hate that people would be surprised to find out. Rhubarb. I hate rhubarb.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if anyone's
surprised.
We have
a rhubarb plant in our backyard. We make a cobbler or a pie every year from it.
Gross. So gross.
Food I hate. I think you can tell by my size. There's no food I hate.
Yeah, this question assumes a lot, man.
I mean, I bake the Brussels sprouts, get them all crispy on the outside. I like those. I like asparagus, broccoli, cauliflower, bring it all on.
I'm with you on all those, too. You don't like thick and liquid, but that's not a food that would surprise
you. You can't really call that a food, yeah. We went to an Indian place that I thought I didn't like, and I ended up really liking it, so I can't even say Indian food anymore.
Yeah, me neither. Same deal. That's funny. I have a place that did that exact conversion to me. I went and had food there and went, I like Indian food, it turns out.
Right.
Is there a fast food that everyone thinks they like and you don't? Like, Burger King Whopper or like a Big Mac?
Again, let me go ahead and bring up my size, Scott.
I don't like salmon. Salmon bugs. Well, I like salmon and sushi, though, but I don't like salmon like grilled salmon. I don't know why.
Salmon, really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, I love salmon.
I don't know. Depends on my mood, maybe.
Yeah.
The tomatoes and I are having a falling out right now, but by themselves, like straight up tomatoes. Maybe they're just out of season too much and they have no flavor right now, but
sure.
I don't like those right now.
I can't think of anything where I'd say, yeah, you can have all the rest of that. I don't care about it. I'm the black licorice eater in our house.
You like everything. Oh, mm-hmm. I know. Well, all I know what you don't like, but it wouldn't surprise anyone.
Well, yogurt soda.
Well, that you don't like. The dried squid we had.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go. Dried squid, but I don't think that's going to surprise anybody.
No, but I love dried squid. All right, let's move on to another. Man, is it lunch everywhere? We have another one.
another food question?
There's three in a row, dude.
Wow.
Okay, about this one. Tanya Shelton says, would you rather have your dream car with Ronald McDonald always riding shotgun or your dream house painted with a Tilda Swinton mural? I'd do the dream house.
That is the best decision ever because it is so freaking random.
Yeah.
So my dream car, but Ronald McDonald always driving a shotgun.
Yeah. The most annoying possible one, too, is always going, where's the fry guys? And freaking.
So it wouldn't just be like the statue, the Ronald McDonald statue that they have in every Walmart.
No, the bench where he's sitting there wanting you to sit next to him. No, not like that. He'd have to he'd talk and. He'd say he'd make bad jokes about things that rhyme with the word fries and stuff.
Right. I think I'd go for the dream house with the Tilda Swinton mural.
Yeah, easy.
You know what? It's going to be so far from the street and it's going to be gated. Yeah. No one's going to see that business.
And if it's a dream house, who cares?
Right, exactly.
Honestly, I don't care about that stuff now. Like my house could have a giant freaking phallic symbol on it. And if I like the house,
And the only reason I'm adverse to the whole Ronald McDonald thing is just because, well, that's one seat that somebody's never going to be able to sit in.
Right.
Like, what's the point of having a nice car if
Yeah, that's a utility problem.
Right, exactly.
Now, if you said live with Ronald McDonald in my dream house, that's worse. Mm-hmm. But the Tilda Swinton thing, who cares? Here's something people need to know about me. I don't care what anyone thinks about what stuff looks like. I really don't.
Right.
You could look at my house and go, what an ugly house. And I would go, all right, talk to you later. I just don't care. I really don't care. None of that would be for that for me. Like, I'm not here to impress anybody. Katie Talmo says, oh my gosh. Well, the reason that last one was about food is because Ronald McDonald was in it. Katie says, which dish / food would you call your family's signature dish? That would be jambalaya here in the house.
Spaghetti is Tina's forte.
Mm. Good spaghetti, too, I'll bet.
Good spaghetti. She makes great beef sauce.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sounds good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Another food one. Danica says, is it too early to get a fish sandwich? Yes.
No.
I mean, no. It's never too easy. Too easy? Too early to get one.
That's right. I promised people that I was going to do a little drive-through action, drive around, and ask all the different fast food places if it was too early to get a fish sandwich.
Here's my favorite of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It says this. See if you can guess who it's from. Hi, I'm Gary, land guy with Landtronics. With a question, aren't you supposed to say your name and affiliation when you step up to the mic? You just keep on being who you are there. Yeah, Gary.
Don't stop, Gary.
Yeah, you're the best.
Yes to the name for sure. You always get to say your name, but I don't think, you know, you're at the BlizzCon. You want to ask if in the lore, if Medivh is going to have a picnic basket with little baby Ogrim floating down it. You don't say.
Yep.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It should be obvious that I don't know my World of Warcraft lore.
No.
But you're not going to get up there and say, hi, this is Gary from Landtronics.
I wish everybody would just announce themselves as Gary from Landtronics.
Be careful what you wish for.
That's true. Jim Willis asks, top five favorite Nickelback songs. I would ask back, there are five Nickelback songs? I don't know that many.
Which are the very shortest Nickelback songs? Because those would be my favorite.
They're so hard for me to remember. All I can do is think of a Creed song when I try to think of one.
If you sort... if you sort Nickelback songs from shortest to longest, my favorite five would be the first ones you see in that list.
Which is the one where he goes, look at this photograph.
I think that's called Photograph.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's it then. It's the only one I know. That's my top.
Come on, you know how, this is how you remind me.
Oh, right.
And, I want to be a big rock star and drive around in a big stupid car. Something like that.
Is he still... he's still heir to the Kroger Food Corporation, or is he? He's not, right, Chad Kroger?
No.
But he's still married to what's her name, though. That's going on.
Yes, skater girl, yep. Skater boy girl.
They're sinful Canadian
Avril
union.
Lavigne,
yeah,
right?
Avril Lavigne, skater kid turned Chad Kroger slave.
Right.
Final question.
This phone.
I'm going to end on. I'm going to end on an interesting note here. Dean Bartlett wrote in.
Okay.
President Bartlett. He says, the global economy is weak. The markets are strong. Is the financial system reaching an unstable equilibrium? Will it end in tears? That's a really good point. Yeah. I think the fact that the overall economy of the world is considered a little weak and that the markets are considered strong is weird. It's not supposed to work that way. And what probably that indicates is a lot of rich people are making themselves richer, and there's a bit of a bubble happening.
Right.
So let's all go watch The Big Short. Just watch The Big Short and see if this happens again.
Wow.
The Big Short
That's
made me
way
realize.
Better answer than I could have come up with, because I was still thinking about a fish sandwich.
Don't you? It's too early for a fish sandwich. The Big Short, didn't it make you think, not only did it freak me out about what happened, but it makes me think it'll just happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just going to happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I don't know what side
it
of the economy.
Too well
or...
for a few people for it to never happen again.
Yeah.
For there to be.
Yeah. They'll figure out a way, man.
Yeah.
They'll hope it won't. I mean, they don't want it to because they don't want to have the crash part. But mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of faith in that. Okay. Here's an interesting question. One more.
Okay.
This is from Herd on TMS.
Ooh, there's a Herd on TMS Twitter account?
There is. I don't know if that's supposed to be like the Scott Proclaims one or, mm-hmm. or what it's like. But anyway, it says, a question from an early episode of TMS. Why is there still a Best Actor and Best Actress award? why not award one award for everyone, just all the actors in one pile, and say who's the best actor this year, lady or man? Why do we have to separate them by genders?
Because all the dude actors are so good that it'll just be a bunch of dude actors every year because the women aren't as good actors as the dudes. Is that what they're looking for?
I don't know what they're looking for. I think it's a good point, but tradition's hard, man. I don't know how you shake it loose. Tradition's hard. Half the reason half the dumb things we do don't go away for a long time is because some of it's tied up in tradition. Like, why was it hard to get the South to get on board with no more slavery? Well, part of that is tradition. They had traditionally had a ton of slaves, man. That was something they were used to. I liked having my slaves, and they took them away. That's my tradition. It's the same thing.
Right.
And I'm not saying I'm not equating this to slavery, but I'm just saying, you know, like Miss America pageant, why doesn't that end? Well, there's a lot of tradition there. And whether you agree with the tradition or not is not the point. The point is tradition is hard to shake loose. If your tradition growing up was to go out and kick a squirrel across the street once a week, well, what's to stop you now? Plenty of squirrels, lots of streets.
And just be glad that there's not even further discrimination going, like best black actor, best white actor, because that's going the complete wrong way. I'm not disagreeing with them. I think having like a, you know, let's recognize the best acting performances. But this way, if we do split it up, men and women, then we get more, as opposed to saying the best performance, non-gender specific.
Yeah, or you could also take a more positive view on this and say that it celebrates each gender's accomplishment, and there's nothing wrong with celebrating. Because what this does isn't necessarily divide people. I mean, it does, but it doesn't divide them in a negative way necessarily. I don't know. This could be a point of view thing. It's not going to change is all I'm saying. There's no way. For good or for ill, I think we're always going to have that award. I think that's it. Is that everything? Gary Fisher says he still hasn't figured out how you neither take figs nor leave figs. You know why, Gary? Because it was plums. It was never figs. It's
Paul Figs is what it was, yeah.
You neither take Paul Fig nor leave Paul Fig. How is this possible? He's a robot. All right, that's it for your questions. Thanks, everybody, for those. Ask TMS is the hashtag. Do it all week. We'll put them here on the show. Thanks for all your support at patreon.com/TMS. That's where we get the help we need to make this show possible and also make this PM edition possible. So thank you guys so much for that and your support there. Frogpants.com for everything else. That's frogpants.com/TMS, in fact. I think that's it.
Okay.
Let's get out of here and come back Monday and try to do it all over again. What do you say?
Let's get you well, right? Yeah. Let's get you feeling better.
I'm gonna go lay down.
I know just the thing to do it. It's a tune. It's a song going out to somebody named Sarah.
Oh.
Dear Skinny and Buns.
Your buns, I guess. That's you. Or am I skinny? I might be buns. I don't know.
If we're going the S&B. At some point last year, I wrote in and having lost my first 5 pounds, requested that you play our favorite Darius Rucker song to toast the end of eating trash and feeling like trash. This week I hit 55, and though I'm still only about halfway to my goal, I think 55 pounds lost, by the way. And though I'm still only about halfway to my goal, I definitely feel like a GD badass.
All right.
Not only am I feeling physically better, but I'm also gaining confidence, yes, in my appearance, but also in my ability to accomplish difficult things. This is hard work that I didn't think I could do, but having run my first mile ever in October, by the end of the month, I'll be running 4 consistently. Thank you two and Bill for the inspiration, and I'll see you at 100. Cute ending, Sarah.
Aw.
So, Sarah, awesome. I applaud you, and I'm jealous, and you inspire me with your discipline and your fortitude. So keep it up.
Yeah.
The request is a cover of Sexy and I Know It by LMFAO. Well, sure, we could do that. And let's, you know, why break tradition for today and play a fast version when I have a great acoustic version of the tune. This is by Ed Struillart, I guess. It's a bunch of I's and J's and a couple of A's all jammed together in a word. From the 2012 album Acoustic Dance Sessions, here is his cover of LMFAO Schwartz's Sexy and I Know It.
Walk on by, girls be looking like Demi Fly. I pimp to the beat, walking down the street in my new freak, yeah.
this is how I roll. Animal print pants out of control. It's a red foe with a big ass roll. And like Bruce Lee, yeah, I rock the club, yo.
Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
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 When I walk in the spot, this is what I see. Everybody stops and they're staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it. Ooh, I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it. When I'm at the mall, security just can't fight them all. When I'm at the beach, I'm in a Speedo trying to tear my cheeks. This is how I roll. Come on, ladies, it's time to go. Headed to the bar, baby, don't be nervous. No shoes, no shirt, and I still get served.
What?
Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
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 When I walk. Stops and they're staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it, show it, show it. Ooh, I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it. Wiggle, 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 yeah. And I know it. Sexy and I know it.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Fortune is passed by.